1-412-4061. Speaking of stress, Debbie is a specialist in all of this. Debbie DeMore, or Dr. Lisa DeMore, I should say, Dr. Lisa DeMore, with the Glenbard Parents Series. You are a specialist in stress, particularly when it comes to kids and children and kind of what they've all been through over this last year and a half. It's something you'll be talking about as part of this event, right, Dr. Lisa?
That's true. That's true. I'm looking forward to being with the Glenbard Parents Series.
So it's interesting. I was reading up on this a little bit, and I was looking into kind of how kids talk about stress, and it's maybe a different language. And I heard that some, like, teenagers in some cases are making up their own kind of words for how are you doing? And they'll say things like quarantine good or COVID okay. And, you know, they kind of know that this isn't normal and that we wake up every day and there's kind of this expectation of uncertainty. That's a tough thing to go through as a kid. It's a tough thing to try to help your kids through as an adult.
Absolutely. You know, the pandemic has been incredibly hard on everyone, and it has also been hard on children and teenagers in really unique ways. For them to be separated from school, separated from their peers, have their routines disrupted, you know, is different from, I think, a lot of what other people have experienced. And, you know, for teenagers, their job is to become increasingly independent and to spend as much time with their friends as they absolutely can. And so for teenagers in particular, the pandemic has really thrown a lot of them into reverse developmentally as far as they're concerned.
One of the things you're going to be talking about is healthy versus unhealthy stress and anxiety. I don't know, all stress kind of seems unhealthy to me, but how do you sort of separate that when it crosses over?
Sure. So psychologists have long understood that stress is actually just a part of life, and that is true because we're going to experience stress anytime we're adapting to new conditions, and it can be good things or bad things. So, you know, anyone who's become a parent knows how incredibly stressful it is to have a child come into your home for the first time, and it's just because there's so much adaptation involved. So even though it's wanted and wonderful, it can still be really very hard. So psychologists are not uncomfortable with stress at all. We see it as just one of those things that comes as your life is moving along. And we appreciate that it's growth-giving, that we tend to grow in the context of stressful experiences because we adapt and expand our capacities. But there's a limit on how much stress we think is appropriate or healthy or growth-giving. We don't like trauma, overwhelmingly horrible events, and we don't like chronic stress, which is stress without any breaks in it. And I think that's really what has made the pandemic so challenging, is this sort of sense of unrelenting stress that has come with it.
Yeah, for adults and kids alike. I was saying in the very beginning, you know, these kids will be one of the most resilient generation, almost like a wartime generation, and their ability to bounce back and fight through adversity. But you're right, after fighting and fighting and fighting, I just wonder what impact it has on kids, maybe all of us, long term.
I think that's going to be one of our big questions. You know, as soon as we can get to the back end of this and start to look back on it and figure out where the work lies and what needs to be done to try to put things back on track, all of us in the mental health field are wondering who will come out of this okay or even stronger as a result, and who will suffer in ways that last. And, you know, we need to think about how people came into the pandemic, the resources they had available to them on the way in the pandemic, what happened to them in the pandemic, and then really do what we can to bring as many resources to bear as possible to take care of people who have suffered or who were suffering before and then suffered more as a result of the pandemic.
Dr. Lisa DeMore, I know you'll be talking more about coping strategies and helping us all through these challenging times. It's the Glenbard Parents Series, Thursday, September 23rd. You can join you, and you will also be at noon. And then at 7 p.m., you're going to be joined by author Lori Gottlieb, is also will join you, a psychotherapist and a New York Times bestseller like yourself. So thank you for telling us a little more about it here. And people want to sign up. Do you know where they can go?
I'm sure if they Google Glenbard Parent Series, it will pop right up, and then they can sign up for the noon talk and the 7 talk. I hope they come to both.
Thanks, Dr. Lisa. Thank you for the time today. Good to get the word out.
You bet. Thanks for having me.
Dr. Lisa DeMore is a New York Times. She writes monthly, and she's a bestseller, but she also has a monthly column in the New York Times, and she's part of that Glenbard Parents series, as you just said. I think we have time to take this, Debbie. I've been trying to get you in. Go ahead, Debbie. We were talking about Sears closing its final store. Woodfield Mall is going to go bye-bye in November, but you had a Sears memory you wanted to share. Go ahead.
Hi, Anna. My family actually has homes, cottages in Edgerton, Wisconsin, and my grandmother came out one day, and she put the book on the table, and it was the very first edition of the Sears catalog. And I was a homemaker all my life. I'm 57, and that book showed me how to make clothes. Huh. It had patterns. The toys in there were very different than that they are today. No batteries. good for the environment, you know. Ones that actually have kids put puzzles, wood puzzles together. But the clothing itself turned me into a collector of Victorian art, clothing. I am an art collector. And my home is all Victorian, just like the Sears catalog.
It's so
to make curtains.
Debbie, that is so cool.
It was the coolest thing. And I was a young mom. I had my first baby at 19 and a half.
Oh my gosh. I made
all his clothing.
Oh.
And a lot of those patterns, you know, you
came
can still
that.
Get today.
Debbie, I got to run, and it brings us all back because the memories and the experience. Thank you for sharing. I really appreciate it. That is really cool. It just brings us all back, doesn't it, when you think of the last Sears store closing and the catalog, the things we learned and saw in that catalog, just incredible. It's top of the hour time, so we got to get to the news from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom.
Oh, this is so nice, isn't it?